Picture walking through Mumbai's Dharavi slum, where a million people squeeze into 530 acres, then stepping into a gleaming Bangalore tech campus, and finally strolling London's Bond Street past Graff Diamonds and Chanel boutiques. These vastly different urban landscapes share something profound. They all exist because humans instinctively seek each other out. Despite having endless space available, 243 million Americans cram into just 3% of the country's land. Every month, 5 million people flood into developing world cities. This isn't madness. It's the story of human progress. Ancient Athens gave us philosophy, Florence birthed the Renaissance, and Birmingham sparked the Industrial Revolution, all because ideas collide and multiply when minds gather in shared space. Cities aren't just buildings and roads. They're living ecosystems where innovation happens, opportunities emerge, and the remarkable potential of human connection unfolds. The real question isn't why cities exist, but why we ever doubted their power. Bangalore thrives despite India's infrastructure because ideas don't need paved roads. Inside Mindtree's campus, programmers solve problems for clients thousands of miles away, even as power outages force backup generators. This pattern stretches back 2,500 years. In the 6th century BC, Greece's intellectual center wasn't Athens, but peripheral Miletus, where thinkers absorbed knowledge from older Near Eastern civilizations. Athens rose by attracting these brilliant minds after leading resistance against Persian invasions, much like post-WW2 New York drew European artists fleeing devastation. Islamic rulers created knowledge hubs by decree. Abbasid caliphs built Baghdad's House of Wisdom, where scholars developed algebra and reconciled Greek philosophy with Islamic theology. Japan caught up through Nagasaki, where Portuguese Jesuits established East Asia's first metal printing press in 1590. The pattern is clear. Human capital trumps physical infrastructure. American areas where over 10% of adults held college degrees in 1970 grew 72% by 2000, while those with fewer than 5% grew just 37%. Silicon Valley transformed from agricultural land because Leland Stanford founded a university on his horse farm, and Professor Frederick Terman created an industrial park that attracted Lockheed and convinced William Shockley to establish his semiconductor laboratory there. Detroit lost 58% of its population between 1950 and 2008, transforming from industrial powerhouse to urban wasteland. But Detroit's decline doesn't indict urban living. It reveals what happens when cities abandon their essential features. Unlike commercial towns built on skills and global connections, industrial cities relied on vast factories employing unskilled workers. This model worked brilliantly for a century before crumbling. Henry Ford's River Rouge plant began manufacturing suburbanization, while plummeting transportation costs eliminated urban location advantages. The 1967 Detroit riot left 43 dead and thousands of buildings destroyed. Yet New York, which nearly went bankrupt despite having the nation's highest taxes, rebounded dramatically through financial entrepreneurship. By 2008, nearly $79 billion flowed to securities employees alone. New York's resilience stemmed from its entrepreneurial tradition of small garment firms that encouraged risk-taking, unlike Pittsburgh steel companies breeding corporate conformity. Detroit's political response worsened its decline. Coleman Young's edifice error spent $200-plus million on monuments like the People Mover monorail, carrying just 6,500 riders daily through empty streets. Urban poverty signals city strength, not weakness. Cities attract poor people seeking better lives. Recent arrivals show higher poverty rates than long-term residents, suggesting fortunes improve over time. Better schools or transportation draw more poor people, a sign of success. Rio's favelas originated when Brazil abolished slavery in 1888. Though shocking to outsiders, favela residents live significantly better than Brazil's rural poor. 90% of Rio residents earned over $85 monthly in 1996, compared to just 30% in the rural Northeast. Americans horrified by favelas forget their own urban past. New York's Hell's Kitchen and Upper East Side were once Irish shanty settlements. Patrick Kennedy fled Ireland's famine for Boston, finding work as a cooper. Though he died of cholera, his son thrived, becoming a state legislator. Richard Wright's journey from Mississippi to Chicago to New York shows how cities enabled African Americans to escape Jim Crow laws. Moving to New York in 1937, he became the celebrated author of Uncle Tom's Children and Native Son within 9 years, demonstrating how cities provide networks and opportunities that turn potential into achievement. Cities must overcome density's challenges to make urban growth beneficial. Mumbai's Dharavi houses up to 1 million people on 530 acres, showcasing both entrepreneurial energy and urban squalor, unpaved streets, contaminated water, and 1,000 residents per toilet. Tuberculosis alone reduces Mumbai's life expectancy by 7 years compared to the rest of India. The turning point in urban health came through scientific observation. In 1854, London doctor John Snow mapped a cholera outbreak, identifying a contaminated water pump as the source. By removing the pump handle, he ended the outbreak, an example of self-protecting urban innovation, where cities generate solutions to their own problems. Traffic congestion and crime both eliminate urban connectivity. Nobel Prize winner William Vickrey proposed congestion pricing, charging drivers for delays they impose on others. As crime soared in the 1960s-70s, mayors embraced broken windows policing, expanding the criminal system population from 1.8 to 6.4 million inmates between 1980-2000. Despite historical risks, modern cities have become surprisingly healthy. A child born in New York City can expect to live 1.5 years longer than the national average, with young urbanites enjoying 60% lower death rates and 75% fewer vehicle fatalities, proof that properly managed density enhances human flourishing. Kevin Spacey's move from Hollywood to London's Old Vic Theatre illustrates urban density's economic power. Theaters require substantial fixed costs that become affordable only when spread across thousands of viewers. London's theatrical tradition began in 1576 when James Burbage built the theater for the city's entertainment-hungry population. Restaurants demonstrate cities' specialized labor benefits. In Manhattan, restaurant workers outnumber grocery employees nearly 5-1, with restaurant employment growing 55% from 1998 to 2008. As Adam Smith observed, the division of labor is limited by the extent of the market. Isolated Scots had to be their own butchers and bakers, while urbanites enjoy specialized expertise. Urban bars facilitate romance through density. Manhattan's demographics reveal the pattern. Only one-third of residents over 15 are married and living with spouses, compared to half nationally. Since 1980, people increasingly accepted lower purchasing power to live in cities like New York, paying premium housing prices for urban life's privileges. Paris exemplifies this appeal. Baron Haussmann rebuilt over half the city between 1853 to 1870, creating today's beloved boulevards, proof that cherished landmarks were once controversial developments. The skyscraper revolution required two breakthroughs: Elisha Otis's safety brake and load-bearing steel skeletons. A.E. Leftcourt exemplified this era, rising from teenage newsboy to real estate developer by 1910. New York's vertical growth faced persistent opposition. The 1913 Fifth Avenue Commission warned buildings exceeding 125 feet would create ruinous canyons. By the 1950s-60s, Jane Jacobs emerged as the most influential grassroots opponent. When Pennsylvania Railroad demolished Penn Station in 1961, preservationists galvanized. The resulting Landmarks Preservation Commission expanded to control 25,000 buildings and 100 historic districts by 2010, with jurisdiction over 15% of Manhattan's non-parkland south of 96th Street. Houston gained 1 million inhabitants since 2000 through affordability. $160,000 buys a spacious new home versus a modest older home in Staten Island. Cities prove substantially greener. Fuel usage declines 106 gallons per family annually when density doubles. New Yorkers are twice as likely to use transit as drive. Successful cities each express unique human energy. Tokyo rose when Tokugawa Ieyasu established his castle at Edo in 1590. Lee Kuan Yew transformed Singapore through 8% annual growth after 1965 independence. Boston's comeback owes much to Puritans who founded Harvard in the 1630s. Cities enable collaboration, producing our greatest achievements. Urban density creates constant information flows as people observe other successes. The triumph of cities isn't concrete and steel, it's human minds in shared space thriving through connection.